welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. See, there's delight in the Lord when you can find your way back to the good ground, even if you've been battered and beaten because you strayed off the reservation. Isn't that true? There's delight in there. And that's what David does. And he becomes emblematic of everything that we need to know. So when we read his Psalms and we see it's a song to die for the Son, God let his own Son die for us as his sons. And I think there's something there for us to take to heart. By the way, the end of verse 4, the right there is righteousness. So he says he's going to set upon the throne judging right, and he doesn't let us go without cost. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus died for us. Verse 5 says, thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. You see, that's the prophetic utterance of what will happen as if it already has happened. See, in David's mind, it's a foregone conclusion. How about you? Is it a foregone conclusion? You know, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life. Is that a foregone conclusion? You know, a lot of people are sitting around, oh, I don't know if I'm saved or I'm not. Well, that's because their feelers messed up, they don't have their moorings, they don't have their verses in place, and they don't know who God is, and they can't find their way back, and they keep adding sin to sin, and they eventually get all cluttered and cloudy, they get scorched, they get choked, and they just, it's just miserable all the way from here to home. I'm sorry for those folks. You need to know your Bible. The Bible is the way you'll get home, as it is the way you get in the family of God in the first place. You need this book, and you need to be able to wield it. The Bible talks about the Word of God being the sword of the Spirit by which we do battle, with the shield of faith at hand as well. So you see, there is delight, isn't there? But there are also destructions from the Lord. The Bible says, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, and their memorial is perished. And so what you see is there are destructions. And the Lord is the author of all that, you know. He is the one who puts it all together. If you were to look in your Bibles to Amos in chapter 3, the Bible says, shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not brought it? We like to make apologies for God. God would never do something bad. No, he would never do something evil, but he would let something bad happen. And sometimes he sends the battle axe of another nation to wipe out another nation. Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? We want to make an apology for that. I don't make an apology for God. I'm telling you today that when things happen in this country and they're bad, God allows that. God could stop it. And the world in which we live want to say, why did God allow that? That's a good question. Why don't you drill down and figure it out? Do you know that within 24 hours, on several occasions when we've done something against Israel, within 24 hours, some kind of a major cataclysmic thing has happened? When President Bush made some of an agreement to have Israel give away land and convince them by a twisting of an arm from the biggest country on the earth to give away some land, Camp David was hit with a tsunami. You may have read the book, The Perfect Storm. That was based on a true story. And I'm talking about time after time after time. That perfect storm happened within 24 hours of Camp David being hit. The Lord himself brings the evil sometimes upon the cities to make them to understand. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? Was that not evil, and did not God bring it? You see, we, and I'm talking about humanity, has gotten to the place where we think that we can raise a fist to God and question him. Ours is not to question him. Ours is to worship him, to fear him. You may have heard of a man named George MacDonald. He was kind of a ad hoc mentor for C.S. Lewis. He lived 100 years before C.S. Lewis. And having read his materials, it impressed him much. One of the things George MacDonald said that struck C.S. Lewis was about the severity of God. George MacDonald said something along this line, I'm loosely quoting now. He said, God is severely going to bring judgment, because he emphasized that in his day. But he followed it up by these words, if you will refuse to be happy. Now you chew on that for a while. Because he didn't give us the Ten Commandments as a prohibition. He gave it as a protection. If you steal something, somebody's going to be coming after you. You're going to be not sleeping good at night. Somebody's going to find you out. You kill, you're going to feel like somebody's going to come get you. The law. Man who sheds man's blood, by man must his blood be shed. You're going to find the misery and the brokenness of something like the adultery things and all of it. God didn't say don't do it because he's mean and he's holding out. He said don't do it because he loves and he wants you to be happy. Yeah. You find somebody who's up in their 60s and their 70s who've had a whole world of turning to the left and to the right and breaking those commandments. Man, after a while, it just gets all over them. And eventually they cannot see any way back to that cross they heard about as a child. I was talking to a young man. He's a firefighter. And I was talking to him just a couple days ago. And he was a straight shooter, man. He had the crisp haircut. And he was very fastidious. And he does everything with a gusto of order. He's in his mid to late 30s, but he doesn't know Jesus. But as I talked to him, I realized that this guy had not piled on a bunch of sin. He's a sinner, like all of us, but if you pile on a bunch of sin, and you're 35 to 40, which could involve all kinds of immorality, and the next thing you know, you're just justifying it because you feel like you have to justify yourself. But he wasn't that guy. This guy was still a straight shooter. I gave him a tract. I said, listen, you seem like a straight shooter. You haven't overwhelmed yourself. And I said, you know friends of yours, I'm sure, who've overwhelmed their sensibilities to the point where they could never even hear things about God. Would you read this? Yes, I'd be happy to. And gave him a tract to tell him how he could get saved. That's why it's so important to win people to Christ when they're little children. If you were to read in Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 11, you would find that God rose up the Medes and the Persians to go against Babylon. And he says in verse 20 that he used them as his battle axe. You see, God brings evil sometimes. Do you realize that in America today, this Independence Day weekend, that we have a terrible evil? It is now being said out loud by many that we literally are in World War III. You say, well, it doesn't seem like World War III. That's because World War I and World War II, they were still getting their bearings. They were still figuring out what to do with bombs and what to do with planes. And they were getting cannon and they were getting guns. And things were beginning to become more overt. But right now, the devil has always gone from invasion to infiltration. Isn't that what he did in the early New Testament church? He first of all tried to shut them down by beating them for talking in Jesus' name. Next thing you know, he's joining the church. What's happening in America? The enemy is joining America. They're infiltrating. We're seeing it overseas, and we're even getting every clue that you could possibly have, and yet the warning light on the dashboard is blinking red, and we're saying, oh, well, it doesn't really mean that. We're supposed to be loving. Well, yeah, we're supposed to be loving, and the most loving thing we can do is stop the terrorists from blowing up your neighbor. Somebody's got to go, and it's going to be the bad guy. Okay, so sometimes we need to kind of get up and defend some of our independence, don't we? Doesn't happen by rote. It's the home of the free because of the brave. Isn't that true? You see, we live in a day where we are so mamby-pamby in our understanding, but I'm trying to make the point that God Himself brings the destructions. Verse 6 says, O thou enemy, it says, destructions are come to a perpetual end. In other words, God has brought the destructions that these people have wrought. Look how it goes on to say. It says, destructions are come to a perpetual end. Yeah, you got bloodlust. You got lit up. It says, you have destroyed cities. You have done that. It says, their memorial has perished with them. Cyrus wiped out Babylon. You can't find the hanging gardens anymore. The glory of all the kingdoms of all the earth is in ruins because of the Medes and the Persians. He says, you have destroyed cities. Their memorial has perished forever. But the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord brought those destructions. He allowed those destructions. And in fact, He ordained many of them. If we are being infiltrated, we have to ask, well, why would God do that? Why? Well, yeah, why? Well, we could make a list, couldn't we? How about blood guiltiness? How about the baby's blood that's crying out? How about a Congress of men and women who are making law that says it's okay to go ahead and give money out of the coffers of our taxes to pay for baby bodies to not only be ripped apart, but sometimes be brought in full tax so they can cut them up in dices and pieces and sell them. And they know it. Now, I'm sorry I'm going to preaching, but this is the world we live in. And there's a clash of kingdoms. And when the clash of kingdoms happens, we get to say, I know what's going to happen next. The Lord's going to endure forever. His kingdom is without end. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment. Notice again, far as the psalm is concerned, he has already done this. He has prepared his throne for judgment. It says in verse 8, it says, he shall judge the world in righteousness. So right away, that throne is a bar of judgment. And the Bible says all the nations are going to be gathered before that bar of judgment in real time. And the sheep are going to be gathered, the goats are going to be gathered after the tribulation, and they're going to be separated as a shepherd separates sheep from goats, and he's going to set it up and he's going to judge the world in righteousness. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. He does it in little ways all along the way, because if you never got swatted on the hind end as a child, you keep going headlong into wrong, right? So he swats us along the way. The shooting of the Republican senators was an assault, and God says, I'm going to let this happen so you can see, and I'm going to knock those bullets away because I want you to see we're in desperate trouble. Independence Day. Independence Day. In our generation, the spirit of the age thinks it means independence to do whatever I want. Independence and freedom and liberty. It doesn't mean the freedom to do what you want. It means the freedom to do what you ought. And when America stops doing what it ought, then we get some swats. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And our senators and our congressmen right now are not changing one whit from having bullets fly, acting as if somehow the people who were shot at deserved it in many cases. I'm telling you guys, we are in sad shape. As good as the front burner looks right now, because we are holding the line, we're not holding anything. God is. Those bullets flying was God holding back judgment. If those 15 senators had been knocked out that day, the whole government would have been back into play. There would have been riots across the land. God is on the throne. His throne is set and prepared for judgment. And he shall judge, verse 8, the world in righteousness. But look at this. It says he shall minister. I like that. Judgment to the people. That's the good stuff. Okay, we're going to have ministry to us. Did you know the Bible says in Romans 13... that the powers that be are ordained of God. That means that President Obama was ordained of God. You say, what? Yeah. God could have shut him down right now. He'd let him go twice. He says, you didn't hear me the first 4 years. So I'm going to let you hear another 4 years. And then he gave us Donald Trump. And it was so far down the road, I don't think anybody could have weathered the storm that man's had to weather, having gotten it back out of the reins of the wicked. We are in a desperate time, and I said wicked. It's wicked what has happened those 8 years. And it was on purpose. And it was from God. But we just go, oh, I got my new job, and the economy's booming, and the stock market's raging. 15 senators almost got dead, but God said not yet. When it collapses, are we going to be so overwhelmed by our prosperity that we'll be like Jeroboam II? In the kingdom of Israel, when it was taken away by the Assyrians, so overwhelmed by our prosperity that we think, well, we must be doing something right. We're not doing anything right. We've got a God who's in the heavens who's saying, I want you to get a heads up. Heads up. Heads up. Trim your lamps. Let your lights be burning. Praise God, as David praised him in those first several verses. He says, there are delights in the Lord, and that's where the delights have to come from. You might find delights in the stuff and in the activity and in the play and in the fun, but I'm telling you that that's all extra stuff. That's just the details. Jesus is life. The rest is just the details. He says he will minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Look at this, and this is how we know this is the good stuff, because he says in verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. A refuge in time of trouble. He's telegraphing for the tribulation saints. He's telling them, run to him. You may have to lose your head, but they will overcome the Antichrist by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. That's what it says. These guys need this. This is a telegraphed word about what's coming. But it's also true when it says refuge. The word means cliff. It comes from the word that means a cliff. He's the high ground. You know, it's always good to have the high ground in a battle, isn't it? Jesus is the high ground. But if we stay down here on the low ground, we're not going to be able to see with clarity. We have to go to him as a refuge so we can see from the high ground. It's a cliff. He's a refuge. It's the high ground. It's the stronghold. He's the strong tower. And the righteous, the Bible says, will run into it. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net.
You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.